All right, well, we want to continue our series that we've been involved in for the past month or so entitled Under Construction. We've been taking a look at how all of our lives are, we're all under construction. We're all part of this project that God is working in each of our lives, and we're all a work in progress. And today is part five of this series, and it's actually connected to this last week where we kind of introduced the kingdom of God, and I want to continue with that this morning. Something that I'm really that I'm excited about, and but I want to begin with a word of prayer. So if you guys will bow your heads with me, and let's begin what God wants to say to us this morning. Lord God, we thank you so much for today. Thank you, God, that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, worship you in freedom. God, I just pray now that you will speak to our hearts by your spirit, that you will meet us here in a very powerful and compelling way. Lord, I pray that every person here would have a true life-transforming encounter with your heart, with your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm not used to starting my message this early in the service, you know? It's like, this is great. You guys might actually get out of here by 12:30 or 1, you know? We'll see. I'm not making any promises. All right. Oh, there was a man, he went into a Wells Fargo bank to rob it. And he got a deposit slip, and he wrote his stick-up note on the deposit slip. This is a stick-up. Put all of the money in the bag. But he misspelled almost every word in the stick-up note. He gets in line. And the line's taking a little bit long, and he's starting to get nervous. He's afraid maybe somebody saw him write the stick-up note. So he gets out of the line, and he goes across the street to the Bank of America. And he gets in the line, and then he gets up to the teller, and he hands the teller the stick-up note. After reading the note, the teller determines that this bank robber's not real smart. And so the teller says, well, I'm sorry, I can't honor your stick-up note because it's written on a Wells Fargo bank deposit slip, and this is a Bank of America. You either have to fill out a Bank of America deposit slip or go back to the Wells Fargo. And so the man kind of got a defeated look on his face, and so he leaves, and he goes back across the street to the Wells Fargo bank and stands in line, where he was arrested shortly thereafter while he was in line. Does any of this frustrate you? I have another one, though. Another man, not related to the first man. Just in case you were wondering. Unrelated. Walks into a convenience store to rob the convenience store. He's got a gun. He demands the cashier to put all the money in a bag. And so the teller puts all the money in the bag. Then he notices that there's a bottle of scotch that's on the shelf, and he tells her to put the scotch in the bag. Well, she says no. He says, why? And she says, I don't think you're over 21. And he insists that he's over 21, and they argue back and forth. No, but she holds her ground. Finally, he goes, okay. He reaches, gets his wallet out, takes his driver's license out, and hands it to her, and she looks at it carefully. Well, you're over 21. Hands it back to him, gives him the bottle of scotch. Of course, he was arrested 2 hours later at his house. Am I the only one that just goes, why? Why? And we talked about this last week. You know, why do we make certain decisions? Why do certain people make decisions that just seem so crazy, so even dangerous or just bad? The frustration that comes with that. And then we talked about the fact that, what about ourselves? What about the frustration we feel when we're the ones that make those decisions? When we're the ones that make the decisions that where we go, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I buy that? Why did I go there? Or whatever. And so last week we talked about why we do certain things. And it's connected with this construction project that God has working in our lives. Why we do the things that we do. And so we talked about what a kingdom is. What a kingdom is. And that every one of us has a kingdom. Or, for the ladies, you'd prefer a queendom. But every one of us has a kingdom. A realm that's uniquely our own. It's where our choice determines what happens. And we looked at Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 26, where it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And we talked about the fact that this passage shows us that we were made to rule. We were made to have dominion over a limited sphere, but we were created to rule, that to have a realm of our own. And this is what makes us unique from everything else in creation. Nothing else in creation is made in the image of God and has this ability. Nothing else was created to have dominion but mankind. The image of God is at the core of who we are. And I showed you guys this quote from Dallas Willard. He said, "We are, all of us, never ceasing spiritual beings with a unique, eternal calling to count for good in God's great universe." Another way to think of our kingdom is the range of our effective will. It's whatever you really, truly have the say over is within your kingdom. And then we looked at, again, going back to Genesis chapter 1, we saw that this was it's often described as the human job description or the creation covenant. God, our creator, creates this covenant with us, with mankind, of our dominion, of our rule over the earth. We are responsible. All of us are responsible for the care of the earth. But the catch is, we were always meant to do this with God. We were always supposed to do it with him, side by side, everything together, us and God, our two kingdoms working in tandem. That was God's intention all along. But of course, we all know that our ancestors messed all of this up. Because of their mistrust, it led to distancing themselves from God and eventually distancing themselves from other people. We are still to this day struggling with the distance that we have between us and God and the distance that we have with one another. But in spite of that, the fundamental makeup of who we are, who we were created to be, we were created to have dominion. We were created to rule, to reign. But now things are distorted. Now there's a glitch. There's a glitch in the software, so to speak. And now, much of human focus is on ruling and reigning over one another. I'm over you. I need to be over you, or I need to avoid you being over me. This is the fundamental issue of humanity today. And that's why people do stupid stuff. Like try to rob banks. Or the story I told you guys last week about the wealthy homeless guy. Conflicts between people are always connected with that clash of kingdoms. The clash of kingdoms. So how do we get back? How do we get back to God's original intent? How do we get back to God's creation covenant? How do we get back to everything together with God? Surprisingly, it doesn't begin or it doesn't really involve like some religious ceremony. It doesn't involve you climbing some mountain. It doesn't involve some just crazy rituals. It actually started and continues with an invitation. With an invitation. I like invitations. First of all, invitations are thoughtful. Have you ever thought about that? It takes a lot of thought to come up with who you're going to invite to something, right? You know, like your wedding or birthday party or something special. It takes a lot of thought to sit down and go, yes, no, definitely not. It takes a lot of thought to come up with who you're going to invite. And on the other side, when getting an invitation makes you feel good, doesn't it? Doesn't it make you feel good or feel special when you get an invitation? Generally speaking, no one ever accidentally gets an invitation. Right? I mean, the fact that you got one means somebody was thinking about you and wanted to include you in something. They were being thoughtful. Remember when you were a kid and you get an invitation to another kid's birthday party? Just how that would make you feel good about that? Even if the whole class got an invitation, still, the fact that you got one made you feel good. They're thoughtful. Next, invitations are specific. They're thoughtful, but they're also specific. Invitations are great examples of clear communication. Totally clear communication. Who's having the party? Says so right here. Where is it? Says so right here. When is it? It's right there. Anything else I need to know about it? It's all right here. It's clear communication. Next, the next thing about invitations is that there's a clear call to action. Invitations are thoughtful, they're specific, and they contain a clear call to action. Usually an invitation gives you permission to come over to someone's house or a particular location or a gathering. There's a clear call to action. You have the permission to get up off the couch, take a shower, iron your shirt, get in the car, and come over to my house, right? Invitations don't tell you, stay home. You're cordially invited to stay home and do nothing. There's always a clear call to action. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 14, we see Jesus deliver God's invitation to the world. Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 14, it says, "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." What I want to do right now is I want to show you guys four different versions of this passage. Two different translations and then two paraphrases of this invitation. Because I want you, it's really critical that you see that this is an invitation. The first one was, you know, the NIV. "After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Next is the New King James Version. It says, "Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Next is the New Living Paraphrase, which says, "Later on, after John was arrested, Jesus went into Galilee where he preached God's good news. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." Lastly is the message, another paraphrase. It says, "After John was arrested, Jesus went to Galilee preaching the message of God. Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Four different versions of the same two verses. And I want us to break this down a little bit because this is so critical to your faith, to understand what we've talked about what a kingdom is, because the focus of these verses is the kingdom of God. And remember what a kingdom is. It's not any different than your kingdom. It is, God has a kingdom, a realm that is uniquely his own. It's where his choice determines what happens. It is the range of his effective will. Whatever he has the say over is within his kingdom. And the focus of this invitation, these two verses, is the kingdom of God, the rule, the realm of where God has the say. Each version of this invitation shows that it is thoughtful, it is specific, and there is a clear call to action. It's thoughtful because it's for everyone. It's for everyone. And we know this because all through the four Gospels of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all through, everywhere Jesus went, he preached the same message. He gave the same invitation everywhere he went. Every town, every village, every meeting, every synagogue. It was the same invitation. The Bible says it clearly. He went from town to town to town, preaching, proclaiming the good news of the gospel. He gave the same invitation everywhere he went. This invitation is for everyone in the entire world. It's thoughtful. God literally thought through this and thought, who should I invite? Everybody. Which should make you and I feel pretty special. Like, hey, I got an invitation from God. It's thoughtful. It's specific. There's a time stamp on this invitation. There's a time stamp of when it was given. It says after John was put in prison, which is a specific time in history. People at that time knew exactly when this happened. They knew exactly when John the Baptist was in prison, because it was a major event that happened at that time. It's specific as far as the time stamp. It's specific as far as where it was given. It says when he was in the region of Galilee. That's where specifically this particular invitation was given. It's specific about what the invite was for. He was inviting people to the kingdom of God, the realm where he's totally in charge. That now the kingdom of God was accessible, it was open, and people were now invited to it. It talks about, even talk about when. He says now, the time is near at hand, meaning it's now, it's open now. And there was a clear call to action. It said, repent and believe. Believe what? Believe this invitation. What is the invitation? You can come into the kingdom of God. How do I come into the kingdom of God? You repent and you believe. Believe what? The kingdom of God. Well, how do I get into the kingdom? You repent and you believe. What do I believe? The kingdom of God. You see the loop? Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message. What's the message? The kingdom of God. How do I get into the kingdom of God? You have to believe the message. What's the message? The kingdom of God. You see the loop? No matter which translation you look at, you see the loop. God went everywhere going, the kingdom of God is open now. How do I get in? You have to repent and believe. What do I believe? That the kingdom of God is open. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the focus of the invitation. My favorite paraphrase of this passage, again, is from Dallas Willard. I loved Dallas Willard. He passed away a few years ago. I love his paraphrase of this. He said, all the preliminaries have been taken care of, he said. This is Jesus speaking, Mark 1, 14, 15. All the preliminaries have been taken care of. And the rule of God is now accessible to everyone. So, review your plans for living and base your life on this remarkable new opportunity. That's the invitation. I love that. I love that. Everything's been taken care of. The room is already decorated. We've got our invitations out. Everything's ready for you. Now, the rule of God, the kingdom of God, is now accessible to everyone. So, think carefully about your life. And base your life, build your life around this remarkable amazing opportunity. You might want to say yes to this invitation. I love his wording of this passage because there's a lot of confusion about what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God means for us as believers. First of all, the kingdom of God didn't start with Jesus' announcement. It didn't begin when Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is now here." Jesus didn't bring the kingdom with him. The kingdom of God is not a New Testament idea. And the kingdom of God isn't confined to our hearts. The kingdom of God is not just an inner heart thing. God's kingdom has always existed and will always exist, whether there's people or not. It's always existed. Psalm 145, verse 13 says, "Your kingdom, O God, is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations." The kingdom of God has always existed. The kingdom of God can't be destroyed. Can't be destroyed. Daniel 7, verse 14 says, "His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." And also Hebrews 12 tells us that God's kingdom can't even be shaken. God's kingdom has never been in trouble. God's kingdom has never been stressed out. There's never been a question of, "Oh my gosh, things are really bad. People aren't really doing what they're supposed to do." People can't hinder God's kingdom. People can't delay God's kingdom. People don't affect God's kingdom. But here's the thing. If there's one thing you need to hear before you leave today, we have an invitation to be part of his kingdom. We're invited to be part of his kingdom. But if we refuse, we only hurt ourselves. Let me say that one more time. We have an invitation to be part of God's kingdom. But we don't have to accept it. And if we refuse that invitation, we don't hurt anyone else but ourselves. That's the other thing about invitations. You don't have to accept them. It may make you feel good to get an invitation. "Wow, so it was really thoughtful that they invited me." You may even agree with the specifics of it. "Yeah, I see where it is, and that makes sense, and I think that's good, blah, blah, blah." But you don't have to respond to the call to action. That's up to you. But this is how we begin our journey back to God's original intent. This is how we get back to God's creation covenant. This is how we get back to everything together. The kingdom of God requires that we enter it. You have to go in to the kingdom. Jesus made that clear. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. When he was talking to the people, and he was comparing them to the Pharisees and how much they looked up to the Pharisees, and how they just seemed so religious and so pious and so righteous and everything. And Jesus stunned the people and the Pharisees who were standing there. And he said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you in no way can enter. That word enter is really, really important. You aren't going to get in to the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, we again see Jesus talk about entering the kingdom. And of course, his famous meeting in John chapter 3, verse 5. Again, he talked about entering the kingdom. The kingdom of God requires that you enter into it. There is a clear call to action on our part to the invitation. The kingdom of God is not a concept. It's not some spiritual thingy. It's where God rules and reigns and where He has the say. And you must enter His kingdom. Again, going back to Dallas Willard, I want to close with this. It tells a story about growing up that I think can maybe help us more understand this. It's kind of it's certainly not a perfect metaphor picture, but I think it helps. He talks about growing up in rural Missouri back in the 40s and on a farm, and they didn't have electricity for much of his growing up. And then he said he remembers one day what was called the REA, the Rural Electrification Administration. Sounds so funny, you know, to hear about that now. The Rural Electrification Administration arrived and they extended the power lines to the area where they lived. And he said, when those lines came by our farm, a very different way of living presented itself. Our relationships to fundamental aspects of leisure, of preparing food and preserving it, can then be vastly changed for the better. He said those farmers, in effect, heard the message, repent, for electricity is here. That was basically the message. Repent, or change. Turn, change your life, review your life, make changes, because electricity is now here. He said, repent or turn from their kerosene lamps and their kerosene lanterns, their ice boxes and cellars, their scrub boards and rug beaters. The power was now inside their homes to make their lives better, if they would accept it. But some did not accept the kingdom of electricity. They were suspicious of it, even afraid of it. Some thought it cost too much. Some just did not want to take the trouble to change. The blessing was there, waiting for them to enjoy, but they were not taking advantage of it. In the same way, the kingdom of God is here, waiting to be enjoyed. Some say it costs too much. Others are suspicious. Still others don't want to take the trouble to change. But it's here nonetheless. God's desire has always been that we build our lives around Him. And so He sent the way back to Him. He sent Jesus to show us the way back. The way back to His original intent. The way back to His creation covenant. The way back to everything together. And when you understand the invitation, and there's certain passages in the Bible that just make so much more sense. When you understand the invitation, John 14:6 makes way more sense. When Jesus said, "I am the way. I'm the way back. I'm the way back to God's original intent. I'm the way back to God's creation covenant. I'm the way back to everything together. I'm the way back. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. And no one comes to the Father. No one comes to Him except through me." And when you see other passages where Jesus says, "I am the gate. I am the door. I am the one. I'm the way back." When you understand the invitation, oh man, that those verses make so much more sense. So much clearer. And then you understand, I've got to enter the kingdom, and Jesus is the way. He's the gate. He's the door. He's the way. I have to enter through Him. But are you suspicious? Are you afraid it's going to cost too much? Is there something holding you back? You know, it's like, I kind of want to dabble in this Christianity thing. Are you afraid God's going to make you do something crazy? He's going to make you stand on the street corner with a big sign, or make you come up here and talk in front of people. The kingdom of electricity is here. Will you enter? You guys bow your heads. Father God, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, God, for the clarity of Your word and the clarity of Your message, the clarity of Your plan, clarity of Your invitation to us, God. I pray, Lord, that You will direct our hearts now, that You will speak to us, God. You will reveal to us if there's anything in our hearts that needs to change, if there's any change that needs to happen, any action that we need to take in this moment, God, I pray that You will speak to us and make that clear. With every head bowed, I just want to give you the opportunity now to, first of all, if you're here and if you've not made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, if you've not consciously said yes to His invitation, you've not consciously entered the kingdom of God today, if you're not completely clear that if your life ended today, that you would spend eternity with Jesus, if you're not clear on that, and you want to say yes, you want to make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have said yes, that you now understand more of what it means to enter the kingdom of God. And if that's you, whether it be the first time or if it's a time of rededicating your life, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that's your desire? Amen. Those of you that raised your hands, I just want to give you a moment just between you and the Lord, just to reaffirm your heart, your commitment, your relationship with Him. Whatever forgiveness you need to ask, do that now, just between you and God. For everyone else, I just want to ask if there's something else that you heard today that brought conviction upon your heart. If you felt God challenged you in some way as far as your life, maybe there's suspicion or fear, or maybe there's something that's holding you back from fully going all in with God. And you want that to change. You don't want to hold back anymore. You want to be all in. But if there's anything between you and the Lord that needs to get worked out, I just want to give you a moment between you and Him as well. Lord God, you hear the prayers, you hear the hearts of your people. And God, I just pray now that you will reach out, God, that you will connect with everyone. And that, God, I pray that your grace would be extended towards each person. That your power that brings healing, your power that brings transformation, your power that brings freedom would come upon your people. Help us today, God, to make the changes that we need to make the commitments that we need to make to you, so that our lives would be fully blessed by you in every way. Help us on our way back to you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we thank God? Thank you, Lord.